I don't know if you can call a 2 week message, two part message, a series, but it's a mini series we're going to do leading up to Easter. And I want to look at, we're going to look at what I've entitled The Way of the Cross. And the whole idea isn't just to look at what Christ did, but also to look at what our response is supposed to be to that. That's one of the keys there. So let us begin. And I first want to begin by first making a confession that there are statements and passages that I sometimes read in Scripture where I say to myself and I say to God, I don't get it. What I read doesn't compute. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit with how I see life or how I view things. And that's how I pray sometimes. Because sometimes I'll read, because I read Scripture. It's just like, you know, the Scripture we read for communion, right? Unless you eat my body and drink my blood. You know, Jesus was saying those words. And a lot of people didn't freak out. They just started to distance themselves from Jesus, like, I'm not sure we should be associating with this guy, right? And we think, but I would dare say that most of us would be the same. If we were one of those, if we were hanging out following and then he started to talk like that, we'd be going, maybe not. You know? And that's the reality. Rather than going, oh yeah, I get it, I understand, and the little voice in your head going, don't have a clue what he's saying. Not a clue what he's reading. Anyway, that's one of my challenges is I read stuff like that in Scripture, and I just go, I get it, but I don't get it. One of those concepts is the whole thing of suffering. Because I talk about that Jesus had to suffer. We use that language. And yet the suffering Jesus went through, when you read it, when you pay attention to, and thank goodness for Mel Gibson who did that movie, The Passion, right? Because brings it home what we read so easily. It doesn't even, you know, we don't even flinch. But the suffering that Christ had to go through, and then the suffering that we experience in life. Because, you know, we use the words, God can do anything. Well, if God can do anything, get rid of the suffering in life then. Like, no, if you had, look, put it this way. If we offered two courses to you, one, how to raise the dead and heal the sick, and the other one, how to suffer well, over here there'd be waiting list, right? And over here it would just be crickets, you know, chirp, 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 chirp. Not too many people would sign up over this one, this course over here. We're not all that passionate about how to, we don't want to suffer, and please don't tell us how to do it well. You know, we don't want to go down that road. There's a passage in Mark's gospel. It reads, then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. And as he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. I totally get Peter. It's crazy language. What are you doing talking about that? What are you doing saying you're going to be killed? And 3 days later, you're going, what are you talking about? Now, that whole picture is funny, is it not? Can you imagine? Come here, Jesus. Can I talk to you? But that's impetuous Peter, right? He just engages his mouth before his brain, and it gets him into trouble. But I understand Peter. because the whole thing of suffering, that's not their idea of what a Messiah would look like. Why would a Messiah suffer? Why would a Messiah get killed? Doesn't make sense. And then you have sentences, you have phrases what Paul makes sometimes. And it's this one phrase that really I've never been able to fully comprehend where Paul was coming from. And it's this one found in his letter to the Philippian church. And it's found chapter 1, verse 29. This is what it says. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. The disconnect for me is privilege and suffering. I've never considered suffering a privilege. Never. And yet those are the words he uses. In some versions you read that has been granted to you to trust and to suffer for Christ. Either way, granted, privilege, whatever, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It doesn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense to me. It was challenging. Then about 6 weeks ago, you know how you get, if you subscribe to different things on emails or whatever, you know, and you get articles or posts or whatever that comes to you and you look at it, you... And some articles are good, some aren't good. I came across an article written by a guy by the name of Mark Manson. Never heard of him. Written in, I don't know if it's a magazine or if it's a website called Quartz. And the title intrigued me. The importance of writing good titles. And this was the title. You probably don't ask yourself, what do I want? Here's a way better question. And that intrigued me. I was intrigued, so I thought, I'm going to read that article. I'm going to read some excerpts to you today. Because that article didn't rattle me, it gripped me. And it got me pondering, got me thinking. So, pay attention here. I'm just going to read some excerpts, not the whole thing. So you're okay. This is what Mark writes. If I ask you, what do you want out of life? And you say something like, I want to be happy and have a great family and a job I like. It's so ubiquitous that it doesn't even mean anything. And that word, by the way, just means it's so broad and everything. You're not really giving me an answer. A more interesting question, a question that perhaps you've never considered before, is what pain do you want in your life? What are you willing to struggle for? Because that seems to be a greater determinant of how our lives turn out. Isn't that a great, gripping first paragraph? Right? And he goes on, everybody wants to have an amazing job and financial independence, but not everyone wants to suffer through 60-hour work weeks, long commutes, obnoxious paperwork, to navigate arbitrary corporate hierarchies, and the blasé confines of an infinite cubicle hell. People want to be rich without the risk, without the sacrifice, without the delayed gratification necessary to accumulate wealth. And he goes on, you can only avoid negative experiences for so long before they come roaring back to life. At the core of all human behavior, our needs are more or less similar. Positive experience is easy to handle. It's negative experience that we all, by definition, struggle with. No kidding. Therefore, what we get out of life is not determined by the good feelings we desire, but by what bad feelings we're willing and able to sustain to get us to those good feelings. And he continues, people want an amazing physique. Well, most. But you don't end up with one unless you legitimately appreciate the pain and physical stress that comes with living inside a gym for hour upon hour, unless you love calculating and calibrating the food you eat, planning your life out in tiny plate-sized portions. People want to start their own business or become financially independent, but you don't end up a successful entrepreneur unless you find a way to appreciate the risk, the uncertainty, the repeated failures, and working insane hours on something you have no idea whether will be successful or not. What determines your success isn't what do you want to enjoy. The question is, what pain do you want to sustain? That's the question. It goes on, sometimes I ask people, how do you choose to suffer? Have you ever been asked that before? Never been asked that. No one's ever asked me that. But he'll ask people, sometimes I ask people, how do you choose to suffer? And these people tilt their heads and look at me like I have 12 noses. But I ask because that tells me far more about you than your desires and fantasies. Because you have to choose something. You can't have a pain-free life. It can't be all roses and unicorns. And ultimately, that's the hard question that matters. Pleasure is an easy question, and pretty much all of us have similar answers. The more interesting question is the pain. What is the pain that you want to sustain? Now, that answer will actually get you somewhere. It's the question that can change your life. It's what makes me, me, and you, you. It's what defines us and separates us and ultimately brings us together. And he goes on the article about wanting to be a rock star when he was a teenager and it never happened. And he says, I wanted the reward and not the struggle. I wanted the result, not the process. I was in love, not with the fight, but only the victory, and life doesn't work that way. Who you are is defined by the values you are willing to struggle for. So says Mark. And the question is, what pain are you willing to sustain? And I read that article, my mind was racing. And it went passages, seriously, because you know, I'm in this business, right? Passages start coming to me, right? Those passages I read to you, that one from Philippians starts coming to me, right? And what I basically did was I took Mark Manson's article and overlaid it on top of scripture, so to speak, to read it now through this grid. And you know what? It was like, I get it. I got it. It makes sense. It was an aha moment. I get it. Right? Because I thought of the things I wanted so bad that I was willing to go through some hardship in life, such as this. As a teenager, biking 8 kilometers in the winter on dark country roads, to see my girlfriend, April. That's insane, right? It was, when I look back on a 10-speed bicycle. No, little thin tires. Wanting to be a police officer so bad when I was 17 years of age, and in order to get my weight up so I would make a requirement when I had my interview, I literally... Do you guys remember, this will date you, do you remember milk used to come in jugs of milk, jug milk? Okay. Was that 3 quarts or 4 quarts? 4. Okay. So I used, seriously, to get my weight up for my interview, I was 17 at the time, for the cadet in Toronto Police, to get my weight up, I drank every day 1 jug of homogenized milk, plus on my way home from school, I would stop at Stony Creek Dairy and get an extra large malted milkshake. Right, but that's what I was doing for the 2 months before my interview, every day. Wow! Now if I look at whole milk, it's like, but desiring to follow Jesus wherever that would take me more than the security of a police job. That's another long story there. And more lightheartedly, wanting to say, I'm a tough mutter, you know, you push yourself through all that stuff to get a, what do you get, a headband t-shirt and a beer at the end. And crazy. But the point is, it's wanting something so bad that I'm willing to suffer to get the reward at the end. And we can all identify with that. There's been times in your life, I'm sure there's been things you've wanted that you're willing to go through the struggle to get that. There's probably things right now that you're doing to get that. There's something down there you want. I'm sure there is. We've all experienced. We all understand. We get it. We understand that. Now consider Jesus' words. Luke 4, when he was in the synagogue and he read from the scroll. And he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." You see what Jesus wanted so bad? He wanted people freed. He wanted good news preached. He wanted people healed. He wanted captives released. That was his thing he was going for. Wrong reference. Ignore that. This would be John 3:16. For this is how God, this is Jesus' words, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." What was he going for? That's what he was going for. He had something he was wanting so bad. And then the one passage that really hit me, that I realized it was, oh, I get it now. And that's the one from Hebrews 12, 1 to 2, where the writer of Hebrews writes, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And this phrase here, because of the joy awaiting him, right? What he wanted, he endured the cross, right? The writer writes, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. You know what the price is? You know what the prize is? You know what the prize that he's going for? Anybody? I'll tell you. The prize is you and me. He wanted it that bad. So you think of those times when you have wanted something. Maybe it was a degree you were going after, and it's long, hard hours, right? You know, all-nighters doing papers or whatever. Whatever it is you have to do. You can think of those things in your life you wanted so bad that those things that you had to suffer, so what? That's what I want. What drove Jesus? He wanted you me reconciled with his Father. That's the Father's wish. That's the Father's heart we're looking at. You understand the depth of God's love. You're getting a taste of what, how passionately in love he is with us. How he longs to have us with him, reconciled to him. Do you get it? That out of this love that he has for us, he was willing to experience humiliation, degradation, right, rejection, false accusations, and ultimately one of the most horrible deaths you can imagine, because he had something he wanted, and that was you and me. He wanted you and me. I want to leave you with these words from Mark's article. And I said these, but I want to say them again. Read these to you. "Sometimes I ask people, how do you choose to suffer? And ultimately, that's the hard question that matters. Pleasure is an easy question, and pretty much all of us have similar answers. The more interesting question is the pain. What is the pain that you want to sustain?" That answer will actually get you somewhere. It's the question that can change your life. It's what makes me, me, and you, you, and I would insert in there what makes God, God. It's what defines us and separates us and ultimately brings us together. And look, if Mark Manson's analogy or his article is correct, his words are correct, that the pain that we're willing to sustain in life is what defines us, then I want to leave you with two questions today to think about over the week. How does the pain or the cross that Christ sustained define him? And how will we respond? How will we respond? That's what I want to leave you with. I want you to ponder that.